Good evening, and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. What's going on over there, Lance? Good evening.
He's all wiggling around. Yep. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's Lance and Lulu in the house to answer your questions, to talk about what's going on in the garden, and that's what we do each week. So.
Yeah.
I'm Jill Spears, and Jeff is in the control room. Get your call in early. We've had a lot of calls come in late in the show and sometimes not being able to get to all of them. So if you can, give us a ring, 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now, and then you can always email worm@kvnf.org. Well, some nice weather today.
Yes.
Kind of a little bit relief. I'm thinking I'm going to enjoy this because it might not come back around.
Might
get warm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sun came out some, but it was a little bit cooler.
Yeah. And an observation from both Lulu and I noticing our first hummingbirds for the season, right?
They're back.
Yeah. Exciting. So I love hearing that. And you got your feeder out, Lulu. And what's that ratio
again? It's 4-1.
4-1.
You know, and I want to thank you for saying that because you guys, okay, make sure you keep your feeders clean.
Yeah, yeah.
The
that's
ratio,
a big thing that's,
yes,
you're...
make sure you're using good, fresh water. Boil it and put the sugar into it and make sure you're using refined sugar. Okay, if you think you're doing your hummingbirds a favor by feeding them raw sugar or maple syrup or even honey, you're not. Okay, there's botulism and other bacteria in there that they can't deal with. So just, you know, grit your teeth or whatever you have to do and make sure you use...
It's for the birds.
It's for the birds. And make sure you use white sugar and... Boil your water and then add the sugar and it dissolves so perfectly. And if you make too much, I always make too much, you just stash it in the refrigerator until you're...
Oh, you can do that. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Put it in the fridge. And I mean, not for months, you know, because it'll get that cloudy, funky look. But it's
Well, they're hungry for sure.
Yeah. Yesterday there was one there at the feeder, and this evening when I was coming in to get in the truck to come over, there they were, and they were already fighting.
Yeah. Okay, it's Cedar in Paonia on the line. Hi, Cedar. What's going on?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I'm calling for a question on red yucca plant.
All right.
I got some seeds from a friend, and I put them in Jiffy pellets inside a little tray that holds water and then a clear tray that goes over it. And I also put some just in some old cups, you know, about summer paper, summer plastic. And every one of them sprouted.
Well, good.
Didn't matter what I did. Some just took a little longer. And I know from looking at them in landscaping, they get pretty big. But right now they have like one tiny little leaf each. Those true leaves already shed their kind of leaf. Do you have any suggestions on how to get them growing after, you know, like, say, a couple of weeks? I don't know what to do with them after that.
Oh, God, Cedar, that's classic. I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hello?
Yeah. Well, you could put them in larger pots.
Okay.
You know, and then plant them out, you know.
Is the goal to plant them out? Is that what it is?
Well, to be honest with you, it was the goal was to sprout them because I didn't think they would sprout.
Oh. You got a little bit more then.
Huh. Yeah, and just put them in
and
mix.
I wanted one because they get big.
Okay, and is it winter hardy here?
Well, my neighbors across the street have had them for years.
Okay, well, why don't you go down to Oasis Nursery and ask them if they want the seedlings?
Oh.
There you go.
You know, if you only want one and you have lots, you know.
Yeah, that's a great
idea.
You've
propagated something locally.
And you could work out whatever deal you want to.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, right now I don't.
Where'd you go?
Up.
Yeah.
I think we lost the signal from up on the mesa.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now we can hear you.
You're back.
So right now you'd want to do what?
I wanted to, like, get them to where they have more than one leaf before I do anything with them. Because
yeah.
I think, right, I'd want them a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But do I need to put them in any kind of special growing media or?
Nah.
Yeah. No.
No, okay. I would just.
Keep going for it.
Just keep going for it.
Yeah.
You're on a roll, girl. Keep it going.
And they don't need to be fed or.
No, not when they're this tiny.
No, just let them go and, you know, and bump them up to the next pot size. And
like a 4-inch?
Yep.
Maybe?
And
sure,
then,
yeah.
And then from there, you'll see if you want to feed them. And after that, I would, if you're really going to keep them in the pots, there's actually potting mixes for cactus and yuccas and stuff like that. There's actually.
So can these grow in pots? Do you know if anybody's done that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I had one once that did that, and it got huge, and it flowered, and it was fabulous. And then it died.
Yeah, and we did just get a little text from Wynn down at Oasis who said, good idea, Lance. They will buy those, and he recommends not overwatering them.
Mm. Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And I know the flowers are attractive to hummingbirds.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's
okay.
Perfect.
Well, all right. Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
you're
Cedar.
Welcome.
Appreciate the call.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Sounds pretty. Love cactus flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I love all that stuff.
Me
I just
too.
Think it's so fun.
Succulents, all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. 970-527-4868, 866 KBNF now. And Dave here in Paonia is on the line with a potato question.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Dave.
Yes. Hi, guys. Good
hi.
To talk to you.
You
and,
too.
And you want to talk about the hummingbirds. I was raking some leaves, and I had my head down, and I didn't see it, but I thought it was a drone. It had to be, and it took off so fast I couldn't see anything except the, like the backside of it.
Just
but it was big.
That's good.
Anyway,
nice.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. But my question is this. Seems to be a debate about how you grow the potatoes. In these barrels. It seems like the simplest thing, but it's like, is it 3 inches or so, and then you wait, it pokes up, and then do you do it again?
You're growing
the
them in,
is it,
yeah, you're growing them in barrels?
Trying to.
Okay.
Like a big barrel, a big wooden.
Like a 55-gallon drum.
Drum, okay. Oh, plastic or wood or.
Metal?
I don't know. It's Jill's neighbor. got a lot of different kinds of containers, okay?
Oh, I think she has some cardboard that's lining some basket-like containers.
Okay.
And then she's got the,
yeah,
the soil
on top
of that.
Yeah, but you know how fast she is with her mouth. It's, her mouth, it's like every container is not the same.
Well, no, she's, I know
is,
what cardboard
is not
she's
a
using.
So,
yeah, she's got a hot podge of trying to put potatoes in containers that she can move around, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, anyways, you're going to put 3 or 4 inches of soil on the bottom or potting soil or whatever, and you're going to plant the seed potatoes in there. And when they get 4 to 6 inches tall, you're going to mulch almost to the top of that. You can put in 4 inches
of
mulch.
Oh, soil and then what? After they poke up.
Yeah,
okay.
And then if they grow in more, you're going to put do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Until the
Soil mulch?
Yep. And you're just going to keep them because what happens
what about
is
the watering,
you're going to have to keep them moist. You got it in the pot. If they're in the ground, you actually can almost dry land farm them. They need to be watered about once every 2 to 3 weeks in the ground.
She was like, no, Lance said they'll water them once. I'm like, look, I'll just ask.
Yeah.
That
no,
does not sound right, you know?
Well, that's dry land potatoing. That's like your early potatoes, right?
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, we obviously don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, so you're just going to have to keep them moist.
Failure is imminent.
Yeah.
Well, now, Dave, come
now,
on.
Now, Dave. Now,
no mashed potatoes for you.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
No, but here's
that
my question.
That seems pretty easy to me.
So
3 inches, wait till they come up, mulch it.
Yeah.
3 inches, wait till they come up, mulch it, and stick your hand down in there.
Right.
Yeah,
and keep it moist.
You know? Keep it moist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems pretty easy.
It's pretty easy.
Hey, hope you heard that, Cindy.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
Catch you later.
All right, Dave.
Thanks
for the call.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to look forward to those potatoes. I think she's really excited about it. I mean, she's just trying something.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's great.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My thought when things are in a barrel like that, hardcore, is mm-hmm. A, you have to have some sort of drainage. You got to be really careful about how much you water mm-hmm. them. And B, depending on what that's why I was trying to get at what kind of container it is, it can get too hot.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's going to be the problem for her. It seems like it's breathing pretty good.
It's breathing pretty good.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
All right. Let's see what Don up on Redlands Mesa is doing tonight. Good evening, Don.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say thank you so much for the show. You inspired me to make my first donation to public radio back then.
Oh, nice. Thanks for that. Awesome.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome.
Cool. And I recruited a new listener. Her name is Tanya, and she's listening in Fremont County.
Okay.
Cool.
So I've kind of not focused on spinning the wheel of worms. Here goes. To help me figure out my question. Oh, burrow manure. Oh, what a coincidence.
Oh my God! This all right? We this is
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is
go,
too fun.
Go for it,
go
Don.
For it.
Okay, this is a two-part question. One is local, and so one of the common denominators in my garden is burrow manure from my neighbor. That and the location are the only things common to last season, and I have these little worms that are just decimating my poor radish sprouts and my spinach. And I was wondering, you know, this is some compacted manure. I don't think the worms were living in there, but is it possible that, you know, it's kind of a borrowing pit where the animals tromp it down and they pee a lot, but the stuff below is the stuff that's richest. So is that likely bringing something to my garden?
Okay, I want to know, are these like little caterpillars that curl up when you show them?
When you dig them up? Dig them up.
They automatically.
I find them on the surface, and they tend not to move. But then they'll move maybe for 5 seconds, and then they won't move for a long time, and they're hard to see on my soil. I also brought in new soil this season, and so it could be something else. But I was wondering, could this come out of the manure, or is it just another problem?
I think it's just...
I think you just got lucky and you've got some really bizarre stuff going
on. And you got an unbalanced, unfertile soil. And so these things this year have overpopulated.
Right.
And with the conditions that are there. You know, anytime you start a new garden, new soil, you're going to have untold different bugs show up.
And you never know. Sometimes you could be totally bug-free in your first
go around. Yeah, and then you get hit.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so you just happen to have this worm. It might be, no, mealworms don't eat plants, so they eat organic matter.
No, it's not a mealworm.
No, I was thinking it might be.
How big are they? Give us a little description here.
They're any from a quarter inch to a half inch right now, you know, not quite an inch long, and they're like a drab earth tone. They're not really gray or brown or tan, and they're a little caterpillar type of worm.
Okay, well, that's I think they're cutworms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking. And because you're at the top of Redlands Mesa, I know your neighbor, so I know where you're at. And it's been colder, so these things are just coming out now. You know.
Okay.
And they're drabbing as a cutworm, and you have to dig. Since it's a high population right now, you have to go and scrape the ground and get them up out of the ground and actually pick them up.
That's definitely what I'm doing.
Yes, that's what you're going to have to do. And... in the long-term things, you would put collars around every plant, say tomato plants, peppers, all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
Yeah, you'd make collars, and a very simple way to make collars is take the cardboard that's in the center of paper towels and toilet paper rolls, and you'd cut those. That's the easiest way to make the collars. And you'd you'd cut them into 2-inch length. Yeah.
You just put it right around the little seedling and put it down in the soil just a tiny bit, and it'll work.
Yeah, because these guys don't climb.
No.
They stay right at the ground or just under its surface.
Huh.
Oh, that's neat. I can try that
there
right away.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah.
All right. Get after those, Don. And thanks for letting us play the game.
So do I have time to ask a second part of the burrow manure question?
Sure.
Yeah, lay it on us. We've got another couple callers on the line. Go quickly.
Oh, okay, I'll be quick. Uh-huh. So this is a bigger picture question. The burrows are a nuisance down in Valley Country where I caretake some property, and they eat the which renders their manure toxic, like the creosote bush. I was wondering if anything I can do to cleanse that toxin, it's some type of toxic resin, similar but not the same as juniper, but it kills anything else around, and you can't grow anything in it, but it's the only source of manure available there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could. I would just say compost it for a year.
Me too. That's what I would say.
For 1 year. Not
put it in a pile, keep it wet, let it compost.
Yep.
See
what happens.
And you might have to inoculate the pile with active ingredients. I mean, bacteria.
Like horse manure from a nearby town.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Again, thank you for taking my call tonight. Okay.
Thank you, Don. Thanks. Thanks for the questions.
Thanks, Don.
All right.
See you later.
Okay.
All right, 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now, and it's Barry and Uray on the line. Hi, Barry.
Hey. Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi, Barry.
I've seen some tick nests. I'm kind of adding on to Kate Redmond's last program, but the gardens, now I've seen some tick nests. Oh, eggs. They look like balls of caviar on the ground.
Wow.
And you don't want it, you know? And Kate Redmond was talking about post-COVID symptoms, but the people that I know on the Western Slope and all over the world that are struggling with post-Lyme's not post, but still on it.
Still,
it's a serious
thing. So if you see those little caviar things laying around in your garden, burn them out.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I can't stand ticks.
All right, love
thanks
you
for
guys.
That, Barry.
All right, take care.
Appreciate that.
That's really cool.
And it is tick season. Check yourself, check your pets, and you never know anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, people bring that stuff in. I mean, we've got people from all over the place moving in.
Everywhere. I had one a long time, several weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
But if I was visiting with some friends, and they had been talking about having tick problems on their alpacas, and a neighbor had a lot of guinea hens. The favorite food for guineas is ticks.
It is a tick.
Oh, really? Nice.
So if you really have a bad and you have a source that you can get some guinea hens,
sure.
Go for it.
Yeah.
There's a lot. You know what else eats them? The turkeys.
Turkeys like them.
Nice.
Okay.
Turkeys like them. And there's a huge flourishing. My sister has Lyme disease and has had it for years.
Sorry to hear
and,
that.
Yeah, and she, the turkeys now are really rebounding, and they're going after it. You know, it's just stuff is out of balance.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You know,
and we do have to be careful of that.
And we have
that.
To be careful. Yeah.
Everything's out of balance right now.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It's Jane here in Paonia. Good evening, Jane.
Hi, I just want to go back to the cutworms and have Lance or Lulu explain. They're not worms. I think they're caterpillars.
They're caterpillars.
And,
yep.
And then give the little life cycle in terms of the moss they turn into. I think that would be nice. Okay?
All right.
Thank you, Jane.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, it is a caterpillar, and it's a caterpillar to a moth because
that's what they do.
And they're hairless. That's how you can, that's the main difference.
Oh, uh-huh.
Butterfly caterpillars have hair on them, and moths do not. And I actually don't know.
Are they the ones that come with the grass? The eggs are laid on the grass, and so if you mulch your garden with, not lawn grass, but, timothy, alfalfa, hay, feed, cattle feed or horse mm-hmm. feed. And then they...
I think they're pretty big. I think they look like a hummingbird when they're hovering around. That's the right one.
That's the Sphinx moth. And I brought their pictures in with the insect book, and it's a very drab, maybe half inch to three quarter inch moth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they hatch here,
mm-hmm.
and they pupate, and they go down into the dirt and make themselves into a moth, and then they go up and they fly into the high country and mate,
mm-hmm.
and then they come back to where they were.
In that same fields.
Yeah, they come back to the same fields, mm-hmm. and it starts all over again.
Yeah. So they're anywhere from a quarter inch to, I've seen half inch, three quarter inch is about the full largest one, as far as the caterpillar is.
Mm. Huh.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
So wait, they're...
I'm talking about the caterpillar.
Oh, got it. Mm-hmm.
Not the moth, the adult.
Yeah. So there it is, just crawling around, mm-hmm. chomping your plants.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's going to be taking off and going elsewhere. Phew.
The life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
What a life. All right. Thank you, Jane.
Okay.
Okay. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Good.
All right.
All good.
I'm going to give the numbers. We do have time for another call or mm-hmm. two. 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. Lance and Lulu here on As the Worm Turns. And just so much going on there out there. Got water in the ditch. You've mowed for the first time, Lance.
I've mowed,
right?
Yes.
Well, that's my goal tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think this year, just talking about water, a lot of people have scaled back their gardens a little
mm-hmm,
bit,
mm-hmm.
anticipating the dry year.
Yeah, it's weird out there. There's mm-hmm. there the water scene is weird. Our ditch, the Stewart ditch, is going full tilt, but I've been hearing other people with ditch problems that it's not good.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, the snowpack's not good.
Yeah, it's scary.
Simple as that.
Yeah, and it's a good year, though, to really think about what you want to plant as far as what you use, what you eat,
mm-hmm.
and what maybe your neighbors plant and what mm-hmm. you can share and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just that whole community thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's it. And then just some plants that we generally water too much when you could actually cut back.
Uh-huh.
And potatoes is one of them.
Okay.
I mentioned once every 2 to 3 weeks. Onions, cut back on your watering the onions. They actually will do better. Garlic will do better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to do our dry beans, you know, in general, if you're going to grow some dry beans, they, you know, especially if you're doing the peppery beans or even pintos or anasazis, those were dry land farmed.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah.
Right.
And they still are down in the southern regions, you know, mm-hmm. New Mexico, Arizona.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, a couple callers on the line. Dave, again, here in Paonia, wants to talk about ticks real quickly. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi, guys. What a lovely subject.
Yes.
I'm from the East Coast, and the ticks there literally are the size of Japanese beetles.
Wow.
Yuck.
Yeah.
And, man, I am tell you, overnight, they'll just blow up. Out here, you got to watch for the deer tick. Well, what I noticed, guys out on the East Coast that were getting Lyme disease, they all had guinea fowl.
They had
guinea fowl.
Because
they just ate those things 24/7. They really like them. So
there you go. Take care of
I'm
it,
I'm just
right?
saying, different kind of tick, but you can't see them out here, man. They're tiny.
They're tiny.
You've got to be really careful.
Well, the ones on the East Coast that carry the Lyme are the size of a comma.
Really?
Yeah, a printed comma.
Yikes.
Like in the newspaper or something. They're tiny.
No, Lulu. No,
yes.
They're the size. Then we have two species.
Yeah, no.
The one is the size of a Japanese beetle, and they get huge.
Yeah, but the ones that carry Lyme, that came from Lyme, Connecticut, are teeny, teeny, tiny.
Yeah, micro.
They don't.
Oh,
they
you're
don't,
right. They are the little ones.
Yeah, they don't play.
The bigger ones
they
give you something different.
Yes,
they all carry nasty stuff.
Yeah, right. There's Rocky Mountain spotted tick fever.
Yeah, you really just don't want them on you.
Right.
But for people that don't know ticks, just saying. Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for the alarm. I think that's good to be aware of that.
No, it's really good at
sure.
this time of year.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe with all the drought, that's bringing them on more.
Absolutely could.
You know?
You bet. Okay, we've got time to take Phil's call up in Austin to talk about phosphate. Hi, Phil.
How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I was just kind of wondering. I got a bunch of seeds that I'm getting ready to put into the ground here, and I'm wondering what your opinion is as far as mixing some phosphate into the earth. It's already augmented soil, but wanted to know what y'all's take on it. And yeah, don't forget to check your friends for ticks, too. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Good advice. Thank you.
Yeah. Perfect.
Is it rock phosphate?
Is it rock phosphate?
Yeah,
rock phosphate.
You can spread it out and see how it works. You've got organic matter in there and stuff.
Yep.
And then before you use it next time, I would do a soil test.
Mm.
You know, to see if you actually need it. You know, I used it once and it was okay. It really didn't make that much difference for me.
It brings on the blooms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Is this like brand new soil? You're just starting a new garden?
No. It's you know, 4 or 5 years in.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, looking at it and trying to do the no-till thing and whatnot, but looking at the holes where I'm going to put down the plants and whatnot, and I'm like, well, you know, a little phosphate might not hurt, but I figured, hey, as the worm turns, needs to be on at least an hour every week, if not twice a week, and I figured I'd give you all a call.
Yeah,
I'm glad you did,
okay,
Phil.
Okay, yeah, so...
Thank you.
I would go a little more on the light side just to be too much might cause things to not be right.
Yeah.
And then if you find that it was advantage, I would, those mineral or rock fertilizers need time to break down. So do it in the fall. It has the winter to break down, and then it'll be completely available in the springtime.
Right. Now, awesome. Love you guys' program. Again, you guys should be on at least twice a week, an hour at least. Love y'all. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate
love
the
you
call.
Too. Thanks.
All right, some great calls tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get to your
list
and your dirty hands.
Ticks,
I mean,
and
good stuff, though. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for participating. I love it when that happens. We're going to be back next Tuesday for another edition, and it's Tara coming up on One Woman's Perspective next. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Okay, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
With taillight neon, you've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.